Well, good evening, or good morning, or good afternoon, or good day, whatever planet you're on. Welcome, everybody, to the BioTouch Health Condition Workshop for the month of April, and today we're going to talk about posture. Get myself straight
Oh,
here.
yes. Oh, yes.
And we have a wonderful presenter, and I think, first of all, just so you know, you can go to justtouch.com/workbook while Logan is talking to us so that when we share the sets of points to work with posture, you'll have that workbook with you. That's available for a month for free. Otherwise, members can get it anytime they want. So we have a little presentation by Logan Yost, and after that, Bev will teach us the sets of points. If you have any questions or comments, put them in the comments section, and we'll try to answer them and get you on the road to good posture. So here we go, right along with Logan. Hey, everybody. Welcome to our workshop on posture. We have with us Logan Yost today. He's from stretchlab.com and he's here at the local Tucson office. Thanks for being with us, Logan.
Thank you. As Paul said, my name's Logan. I work for StretchLab Tucson here. We have three locations in Tucson, one way on the east side, one kind of central in Oro Valley, and then one on the west side. And today I will be talking to you guys about posture. I will be going off of a little PowerPoint over here. So if you see me glance to the side, that's what I'm looking at. But basically, we're just going to run through what posture actually is. Causes and effects of poor posture, the benefits of good posture, and then just a couple of kind of common postural distortion patterns that you may see that you may be able to recognize in yourself. And then I'll explain to you where we at StretchLab would come in and be able to help you improving your posture, among many other things. So, firstly, what is posture? Posture simply refers to the position of your body in space, and this can either be sitting, standing, or lying down. Obviously, when we think about posture, most of the time it's in reference to our standing posture, but this can also include sitting and laying down as well. Ideal posture is just all joints stacked on top of one another. So if you were to look at yourself from the side, a side view, your ears would be over your shoulders, which would be over your hips, over your knees, and then over your ankles. So when you stand to the side, you should just kind of see everything in one straight line down. That is ideal posture. Within posture, there are a couple factors that affect it or can play a part in good and bad posture, both mental and physical. As far as physical goes, that's obviously just going to be the muscles in the joints, where those are positioned, and if there's any tension there. As far as mental, that just consists of your emotions and your environment. So those oftentimes play hand in hand. If you're in a stressful environment, you're going to feel that stress emotionally as well. And then that stress kind of manifests as tension in your body and tension in your muscles. To expand upon the physical aspects a little bit more, we normally look at four main things. Besides the muscles and the joints themselves, when we're talking about the physical aspects of posture. And those are your pelvis, where your pelvis is positioned, your spine, so the curvature in your spine and the positioning of your spine, your breathing patterns, and then your energy or muscular activation patterns, so how you spend your time most days. Cool. So, a couple benefits of good posture. Ideally, if you have good posture, it's going to allow for improved muscle function. This just has to do, there's a couple scientific reasons, but each muscle has a optimal length that it operates at or that it rests at so it can operate properly. And if you have a lot of tension and your posture is poor, so you kind of slouch over, that's not going to allow some of those muscles in your chest and your back to work as efficiently and properly as they should. So, firstly, improves muscular function. This will both help you with strength and endurance. Kind of going along with that, it helps the ability to properly strengthen and brace your core for the same reasons. If you have a little bit of dysfunction or distortion somewhere in your spine, that's going to throw off how your core muscles activate. So Those go hand in hand. That'll help you increase your strength as well. But then additionally with the core, helps you improve your balance, athletic performance, even just as simply as your activities of daily living, walking, walking upstairs efficiently without losing your balance, stepping over a curb, so on and so forth. Good posture helps with all that. Additionally, that will help to decrease joint pain. If your muscles are functioning properly, they'll be pulling on your joints the correct way, and you won't have stress on your joints, additional stress on your joints. All those come together to decrease overall injury risk within your joints and your muscles. If everything is functioning as a unit and functioning properly, then you just have a lower overall risk of injury with that one. Along with that, this may be the one that everybody thinks of, is it improves your spine health. Just because you normally feel with bad posture, you'll feel it in your neck, you'll feel it in your low back. So when your posture is optimal, this will help with your spine health, reducing pain that you feel along your spine. Then it also will help with things such as digestion, cognition. This could lead to, fewer headaches down the line if you experience headaches from a lot of tension in your neck. But your spine has a large role just because all your nerves, come from your spine. That's where everything shoots out from. If you can have your spine in a proper position, it will help with things such as digestion, breathing, cognition, all the above. A little foreshadow for the next one, it will also improve your ability to breathe and your breath capacity overall. As mentioned, if you're kind of hunched over and everything's tight in your chest and you can't expand your ribs and fully let them expand as your lungs expand, then you won't be able to breathe quite as well. You won't have as large of a breath capacity. So tying back to the first bullet point that I mentioned, this will eventually allow you to increase strength and endurance just because you'll have proper breathing and your muscles will actually be able to, attain the oxygen that they need to perform well. And the last one here, it also will help you on the mental side of things. It'll improve your confidence, it'll improve your mood, it'll improve your energy. These are kind of cliche things we think about, stand up straight, it'll make you more confident, but that is definitely true. There's definitely some validity to that. So improving confidence, mood, energy, definitely the biggest ones with the mental side of things. All right, I'm going to cover five common postural distortion patterns that are most frequently seen just from various movement patterns, job patterns, so on and so forth. Those five are going to be excessive lordosis. Lordosis just refers to the arch in your lower back. Kyphosis, excessive kyphosis, that is. Kyphosis refers to that hump in your mid back there. Sway back, flat back, and then another one that people commonly think of, which is forward head and shoulders. The first pattern here, excuse me, is excessive lumbar lordosis. This is just seen when you have that excessive arch in your lower back. So instead of being kind of neutrally flat, like so, it kind of pulls and really pulls into that excessive arch. With that, that hyperextension in the lumbar spine creates an anterior pelvic tilt, where the hips are flexed, the knees are hyperextended, and then the ankles are plantar flexed or pointed towards the ground a little bit more. And with that pattern, you see your abdominal muscles, your core muscles being over-lengthened and weak, while your lower back muscles and your hip flexors are overactive and they're strong and tight. So those are the ones that are kind of holding everything in place in the front and the low back, and then your abdominal muscles get weak. So in order to kind of counteract that, you would have to stretch the hip flexors and your lower back muscles, and you need to strengthen your hip extensors, such as your glutes and your core. So if you start to notice that little bit of excessive arch in your low back, if that's something you notice in yourself, you're looking to stretch your hip flexors and your lower back muscles and strengthen the glutes and the core. The next one here, this is pretty common. You'll notice these all kind of have similarities a little bit, and they kind of play off each other to a degree, just because the old cliche, everything is connected. So if you have one of these patterns in one area, that may make it more likely to travel to another area and affect that area as well. So the next one here, excessive kyphosis, like I said, instead of you having that kind of normal rounded mid back, you kind of start to slunch over, and that becomes that hunchback that people see where you're really rounded over. With this, we see increased flexion in the thoracic spine, which is just that rounding of the mid back. The head starts to jut forward, and then your scapulae, your shoulder blades become abducted, so they move out away from your spine, and then your shoulders start to round forward too. So your shoulder blades drift away from your spine, causing your shoulders to drift forward. And with this one, the tight areas are going to be the neck, extensors specifically, those muscles that push your chin away from your neck, and then your chest as well. So you'd need to stretch the chest, and then you're going to need to strengthen your neck flexors, your mid back, and then your core as well. The core is going to be a common theme for all of these, just because core stability will help you keep your spine in place, and then it will help you work on the other aspects of your posture a little easier. So with kyphosis, if you have that rounded back, that overly rounded back, you're looking to stretch the chest and the neck extensors, and then strengthen your mid back and your core. Cool. Sway back. This is where we start to get into a little bit of a combination of these. So with sway back, you'll start to see the forward head, but then instead of just the head and the upper body coming forward, you also start to see the hips push forward a little bit too. So with this, you get the forward head, you get the hyperextension of the cervical spine, or just your chin protruding again. You still see that flexion of the thoracic spine where the mid back rounds. But then with this one, you see the hips kind of tilt underneath. In that bucket of water analogy, it would be like you were dumping it backwards. And then your knees are hyperextended and your ankles are in that same slightly down or plantar flex position. So for this one, the main areas you're going to want to look to stretch are going to be the glutes or the overall hip extensors. The glutes are just the strongest one, the neck extensors, and then your chest. And you'll be strengthening the mid back, your iliopsoas or your hip flexors, and then your core as well. So as I said, you can start to see how these kind of go along with each other, and that's why posture is so tricky sometimes and so multifaceted, is just because you can present with multiple of these. So really try to, I'll get to this a little bit later on when we talk about correcting posture, but really just try to kind of dial into your body and recognize those things, just become aware of them, and then you'll have a much better idea of how to go about fixing them. So once again, sway back. Forward head, you'll still see the round in the mid back, but then the hips are pushed forward too. And you would need to stretch the glutes and the chest, and then strengthen your mid back, hip flexors, and your core. Flat back, this is kind of the opposite here. So with this one, your head is still slightly forward, but that comes along with your entire body being shifted forward just a little bit. So with flat back, your weight is primarily on the balls of your feet rather than either through your whole foot or back through your heel. And with this, additionally to the head being forward, you start to see just a slight flexion of the thoracic spine, and then it actually appears straight from your lower thoracic spine or just under your shoulder blades all the way down to your low back, kind of appears as flat. And like I said, with that, it will also, without your butt kind of being stuck back behind you, and that flattens out, it's just going to pull your whole body weight forward. So with this one, like I said, your weight is more on the balls of your feet. So for this, once again, stretch the glutes and the chest as the last one. Your hips are kind of pushed forward, so you need to stretch those hip extensors in your chest, and then you need to strengthen your neck flexors, the hip flexors, and the core. So like I was saying, these are tricky because you have to stretch and strengthen the same things with these, but they present differently. So that's why you really kind of have to tune in, use a mirror if you need to, really try to identify where these patterns are within your own body, and you'll have a much better idea of how to stretch and strengthen your body to improve posture. Okay. And then the last one here, very common. Forward head and shoulders. This is the kind of the desk job posture here, where the term tech neck comes in. You're kind of slouched over your computer all day. So with this, you see just the head and chin jutting forward, and this increases tension in your lower cervical spine and then in your upper cervical spine too. So it kind of just affects this area right here more than anything. You'll see a little bit of that flexion in the upper back along the top of the thoracic spine, but it's mostly just your head jutting forward and then your shoulders rounding forward to accommodate. So with this, you'll be stretching the chest and the scapular elevators, which are your trap muscles, those big muscles on the back of your neck. And then there's another one that runs along the back of your neck to the top of your shoulder blade that simply has the name levator scapulae, which means levator of the scapula. So it just helps to elevate the scapula. So with this, you're looking to stretch the chest and the scapular elevators, and then you're looking to strengthen your neck flexors, your deep neck flexors specifically, the ones that hold your chin down in towards your neck, your mid back muscles, and then your rotator cuffs and your delts here also. So your shoulders and those deep little muscles in your shoulders, the rotator cuff, are going to play an important role in mitigating this posture. Cool. So, how to improve posture? I touched on this just a second ago, but the main thing where you always want to start is going to be becoming aware of where your posture is at and then staying mindful of it in not just the days to come, but the weeks to come, years to come, so on and so forth. This is definitely a conscious effort, especially as you get older and you start to kind of lose a little bit of muscle tone. And gravity works a little harder to pull you down. This is definitely it's a brain game. It's a mindfulness exercise. So you got to be aware, and then you got to be mindful of where your body's at. Step number two is just going to be actually relaxing. It sounds easy, but it is definitely not. You'll notice a lot of people, if you were to ask them, say that they have trouble relaxing or detensing, and that is another very large part of this also, is you just have to get everything to actually relax before you can start to stretch things and move things. If you're not fully relaxed, then you could kind of just be fighting against yourself, if that makes sense. If you're trying to stretch your chest and your chest is tight and you're not focused on actually getting it to relax, you may just be compensating through your shoulders or somewhere through your shoulder blades and mid back, and you won't actually be stretching your chest. So always try to relax as much as you can, really focus on your breathing. And then just be aware and mindful. The next one here, which is where we come in a little bit, is going to be stretching, strengthening, obviously. So where we at Stretch Lab come in is obviously with the stretching part, but in addition to that, you also do have to strengthen other things. You can't just stretch and think that your posture is going to get better. You have to strengthen the areas that are weak as well. And that's why I laid both of those out throughout all those postural distortion patterns is just as you stretch one area that's tight, you have to strengthen the other area to make sure that that area that was previously tight doesn't just go back to where it was before. Okay. So in order to really correct posture, you do have to stretch. You have to stretch those tight areas, but then you also have to focus on strengthening the weak areas as well. So I gave you those names of those movement patterns and how they present, just so you can identify those within yourselves. Like I said, use a mirror, have somebody take a picture of you, whatever you need to do. And then that way you can really figure out what you need. Along with that, the two most important things within that little block, the stretching and strengthening, is you have to be very intentful with what you're doing. There's a difference between, what you're focused on doing, or yeah, more so just what you're focused on doing, and then where your actual intent is or where your energy is while you're doing these things. So really try to focus, find a time where you can decompress. Don't try to do it in between things, or you might not have your full mind on it. Really just try to focus on it and then be consistent with it as well. Consistency is always key with these things. As I said, this isn't just, a one or two time thing and then the next day is going to be better. This is going to be a month long, year long, lifelong process that you have to be involved in. Okay. And then the last bullet point I have is just to move. The old, yet another cliche, if you don't move it, you lose it. So you got to maintain your range of motion. It can be simple things. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. You don't need to be doing gymnastics or anything like that, but just make your body aware of those areas and make sure you continue to use them and move them. All right. And lastly here, I'd like to just talk a little bit about what we actually do at Stretch Lab to help you with that stretching portion. So if you were to come to see us, how the actual process goes is you would come in for an introductory session. And during that, we do a MAP screening. It's a piece of technology we have that stands for mobility, activation, posture, and symmetry. And that's conducted through three overhead squats. So you do three overhead squats, and then that little machine will kind of read your body and tell us some focus areas that we may need to work on. So we get an idea of your current condition. You know, if you're struggling even with a mirror or something like that to really identify where these areas are within yourself, we use that. And then we obviously use what we see on the bench during that introductory session as well to get an idea of where your current condition is. And then how we need to go about creating a plan to help you. So leading into the next thing, everything is all customized with what we do. It's all geared towards what you need, how you're feeling that day, so on and so forth. So we'll create you a customized stretch program, and then we progress you through something called periodization. And that's just exactly if you were to think of a workout program in the gym. You have to add weight, you have to add some sets, you got to add some reps in order to keep progressing and get stronger and build muscle. Excuse me. It's the exact same thing with the stretch program. So we'll, you know, mess with variables such as how long we hold the stretch, how far we go in the stretch. With our method, we use a little push and contraction. So how long you're pushing with the stretch, things such as that, just to help continue to progress you through your program. In addition, we do also give you homework. We have an app called X Plus where you get little videos that you can watch, and we'll assign you various videos from there, send you home with those. So it's not just what you're doing in the studio. And then in addition to that, we'll also give you little miscellaneous ones that could be geared more toward strengthening things or even, you know, improving one's core strength, any of that sort of stuff. And then the last big thing that we promote here is both accountability and education. So accountability is not only are you coming in to stretch with us, but are you staying consistent with your homework outside? Are you stretching? Are you getting that little bit of strengthening in? Are you maintaining your regular activities also? And then we also promote very heavily educating our clients as well. So teaching you about your body, teaching you where things are, you know, what they do, how to approach those areas, some of those common postural distortion patterns we'll talk about, and give you the tools to kind of identify when you might be going back into your previous posture. And we'll teach you about how to work through all that too. So it's a lot of education on body awareness, where things are, how to kind of just fend for yourself when it comes to all that, because there's a lot of information out there on Google. So we're experts. We're trained through our own program here at Stretch Lab, which is nationally accredited, and we can definitely give you good information on your body and how to attack it, so to speak. That's wow. About all I got for you.
Wow, that's a lot. So just a couple of things before we sign off here. So Stretch Lab is a national group, right? There's other places yes. around the country. Yeah.
Yep.
Because a lot of people watching the show here will be from other places of the country. And then the other question people might have is they would still the work that you do, and of course the work that we do, I can't wait to share the BioTouch part of this in the rest of the workshop, but how do you work with chiropractic, osteopaths, massage? You combine that with what you do?
Absolutely. Those are all, you know, I consider them kind of supplemental with one another. You can absolutely do them all individually, but you're going to get the best result when you're doing all those collectively. So,
yeah.
We have tons of chiropractors who recommend people to us, and I very frequently recommend that. I just told somebody today they should probably go to the chiropractor. So these are all just aspects and components of it. You know, you have to make sure your bones are where they should be and your structures are where they should be. And then we help you get the muscles stretched out to where they should be too.
Perfect. Well, Logan, what I really liked about your whole presentation, which is the goal of BioTouch too, is awareness and mindfulness.
Absolutely.
And so we're going to end on that one. We appreciate your time, Logan,
Thank
and
you.
thanks for sharing all that good information.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Wowee, there you go.
Oh my. I mean, just listening to him, I'm just like,
Know.
that's a lot of work, but you know what? I mean, it's like when if you have this these posture situations, the message was, oh yeah, we can work with it. It's kind of like what we say. Well, we can work with it with BioTouch.
And everybody has a posture. So
Yeah.
this goes for everyone, and I think the other part that we'll get into too is it's about consistency. You don't just
This
do
is
a
what
little
we were
work. I mean,
saying.
every day you have to be aware of your body. I like how you said it, your body in space. Where is it
I
in
know
space?
that I noticed that too. Well, when he was saying, the awareness and the consciousness, it's again being present. And with yourself, of course, but that's what he was saying. Be present, be aware, do your part of the work. It's always, wow, that was
So
great.
we'll talk more about this on Monday, folks. Today, we just want to give you the sets of points that would
Yep.
help you with your posture or your loved one's posture. And especially as he says, as we grow older and we have less and less muscular work that we have built up, the body
Right.
tends to, go into these postures he talked about. So if you want, again, pull up the workbook. Bev's going to teach us a couple of sets of points. There's only a couple of sets here.
Right.
And justtouch.com/workbook. And we're just going to hand it over to Bev right now so she can teach us the points that we want to learn for BioTouch.
Okay. So we'll just quickly go over a few things. The first thing I want to mention is in the workbook, that first page, we just have an overview always of the condition that we are presenting, and it just is a good overview that we write about just to kind of give you an introduction to what's going on, the basics. Of course, these presentations are amazing, so they kind of like get a little deeper with everything. So we're going to go right into this page, second page. It says page six. This is from our manual. All of these pages are from our manual. So the question is, what is BioTouch? Many of you, of course, join us all the time, but we're always getting new people to join us. And so we always like to just go over some basic points about BioTouch, just to kind of introduce you to it. So let's just begin by saying, what is BioTouch? It is a simple hands-on healing technique. You use the first two fingers of your hands to lightly touch on the skin. So it is a technique with a system. There's 17 sets of points that can literally address any condition the body can manifest. So this is, again, a very light touch, skin to skin. That's the one most effective way to practice BioTouch. We always get the question, of course, can you do it on yourself? Our answer is, by definition, that's not BioTouch. But of course, if you can reach those points, you can do whatever you want. Does it enhance it? We don't know. Does it help? We don't know. But in certain circumstances, it might be better than nothing. But to be totally effective, two people into a relationship. So let's go to the first bullet. BioTouch is easy to learn. And we have children that have not only learned it, but have been certified. So it's the system is easy to learn, as you'll see in some of these points and the video that we're going to show with it. We've provided some really good teaching training tools. But it's easy to learn, and once you begin to, it's like anything else. Once you practice it, it will come to you. It's like it's inherent in all of us to practice BioTouch. BioTouch is a complement to any healthcare program. It is a complement. It is integrative. It is holistic. You can do BioTouch with any other healthcare program you are doing, whether it's other modalities, whether it's a special diet, working with your doctor, if you're on certain drugs or anything like that. All BioTouch is going to do is integrate with that and truly enhance that journey of healing for you. So it is definitely a complement in that regard. BioTouch has no levels of ability. Everyone is effective. So this is one of the things that makes BioTouch so unique as a healing practice. Every single one of us has the ability to learn and to practice BioTouch. The very first time that you learn any of the sets of points and you work with another person, you are going to be totally effective for that person. It's like I said before, it's inherent in us to care, to be able to help. We know that the body is the true healer here. All we're doing is giving that person's body what it needs to begin the healing process within that body. So you don't have to have a talent, you don't have to have any special knowledge. In fact, you don't even have to know anatomy. BioTouch has a language that will help you to get right to those sets of points and to be effective. And so you carry around BioTouch and always have just right there, your tools. That's it. And BioTouch requires no special preparation, beliefs, system, state of, you don't have to be in a state of mind, clear a room. You don't have to clear yourself of positive or negative energies. You don't have to do anything special. All you have to do is have those two fingers step up to another human being and have compassion for them in their pain, in their stress, whatever is going on, because you will have the ability to help that person. And that is just an amazing gift for all of us. So when we practice BioTouch, there's just a few things that we know that we all do. You must wash your hands before beginning to practice with someone. Again, by the definition of BioTouch is one person touching another person lightly on the skin. We say as a butterfly. So you can just try it on yourself. The lighter you go with the touch, the louder the body hears. It's just this non-invasive, just loving touch. You want to begin every session that is practicing with somebody with this first set that I'm going to present called the greeting. You always use the first two fingers of each hand. And when you touch those points, you want to hold each point 6 to 8 seconds. So we like to say BioTouch can be practiced anytime, anywhere, with anyone. And that is true. That's the gift of BioTouch. So let's move on to the next page, page 7. We're not going to go over these terms. We just like to use this page to introduce you into the relationship that BioTouch presents. And it's these first two bullets. The first part of the relationship we call the associate. So this is the person that's going to be performing the sets of points. And we like to use it to kind of give you a description of what the dictionary says, what an associate is. Two different definitions. One is often in company with another, implying an intimacy or equality, which is a really major point of what BioTouch has the ability to help us with. And two, one having an interest in common with another. The second part of the relationship we call the recipient. This is the person that is receiving the point. So we have a relationship of healing that BioTouch offers us. And in that equality, both the recipient and the associate benefit. That's the connection that we always talk about. So we're going to go ahead and Paul, did you want
Yeah,
to?
so if you'll notice here on this workbook that you have, the workbook is part of the entire manual. We've just taken out the two or three sets for any particular condition. You'll notice there's two different pages, a little bit different for the back, but there's two pages. One is a drawing of where the points are and a little definition of where the points are. And the second page of each set is pictures of people doing the points, okay, with a definition of where the points are in terminology anyone can understand. And at the bottom of each page, you'll see there it says click here to watch the video. Then if you click on that, it will take you to the video of which we're going to watch here this evening.
Okay, thank you. So the first set that we're going to introduce to you is what I was referring to in the beginning. Before you begin any practice in BioTouch, it's called the greeting. It very simple, just two points that you have to touch on the body. This is it's almost like the key that opens the body. It really sets up that relationship between the associate and the recipient that I was talking about earlier. Just sets up a harmony and gets the body open to receive BioTouch. So we are going to watch the video of two people doing the greeting.
The greeting is always performed at the beginning of each session. It's the only set that uses one hand and the only set that indicates which hand to use. The greeting is performed with the dominant hand. If you are right-handed, use your right hand. If you are left-handed, use your left hand. The greeting is made by touching at point one, which is in the fleshy area just below the bottom of the breastbone or sternum. Hold this point for 6 to 8 seconds. Then, with the same two fingers, touch point two on the back. To find point two, look for the big bone at the base of the neck. From here, move 1 to 1.5 inches to the left. This is point two. Hold this point for 6 to 8 seconds. More than one associate may work with a recipient provided that all of the associates perform the greeting. If the associate or the recipient leaves the session, or if someone who hasn't done the greeting touches either the recipient or the associate, the greeting must be re-established. Then the session may proceed from where it was interrupted.
Okay, so now we've done the greeting, we're going to introduce the next. So just to be clear, we put together these workbooks with the basic sets of points that we think you can begin with, but there's certainly other ones that you can introduce as you go along. So the next one that we put in was the next set. And, Logan was talking about everything being connected, and a lot of what he was talking about with the head moving forward and all that. So the neck is probably a really good set for you to begin with. It's very simple, as you can see, only three points along those large muscles. And it helps with, of course, the pain, headaches, neck aches, soreness in that upper back. So this is a really good one for you to use. So we can watch the video of the next set now.
The next set is used for addressing most headaches, neck pains, and soreness of the upper back. These points are performed in matching fire on the large muscles that run along the back of the neck. Points 1 and 1 are halfway down the neck on the side of the large muscles.
Points 2 and 2 are at the top of the neck on the side of the large muscles at the base of the skull. Points 3 and 3 are at the bottom of the neck on the side of the large muscles. As with any set, you may repeat the points as many times as you like. These points may be touched in any order, such as touching points 2, then points 1, and finally points 3.
So let me just say something before we show the back set. All of these techniques help the body readjust itself. And I'm a perfect example. We can talk more about it later time. I've worked with numerous people who their body actually started to realign. And so when you work with people like Logan or chiropractors or massage therapists, they're actually saying, oh my God, I haven't seen you this relaxed. I haven't been able to manipulate your body in forever in that area. So somehow this light touch activates the body's ability to start changing, and then you start becoming aware of, oh, I am standing up taller. So
that's a really good point. I can't wait to talk about that on Monday.
The next set is used for addressing moist headaches, neck pains, and soreness of the upper.
Okay. All right, take it away.
Okay. So once, so in the manual, the back set is one of the first sets that we introduce for various reasons. But just to let you know, it's 5 pages. We're going to just show you, well, you're going to see the whole back set on the video. But the back set is a great place to start, of course, because it involves the spine. This is the one thing we can do, all that work along that spine and into those parts of the body, all of those parts of the back that Logan was referring to. So this is a really great set. If you do nothing but the back set, you're going to start the body's ability to adjust itself, as Paul was saying. So let's go ahead and watch the back set on the video.
The back has 5 steps. Step 1. With the index and middle finger of one hand, touch on the end of the tailbone indicated as X in the manual. At the same time, spread the first 2 fingers and the thumb of the other hand to touch points 1 and 1, which are located along the side of the muscle on both sides of the neck at the base of the skull. Step 2. While still holding X, move the first 2 fingers of the other hand to point 2, which is at the center of the neck at the base of the skull. Step 3 involves touching around the sacrum region of the lower back. This area is identified by a triangle formed by the tailbone and 2 dimples located just below the normal belt line. With the 2 fingers of one hand, hold T, which is in the center of the triangle. While holding T, use the 2 fingers of the other hand to touch points 3 through 9. Point 3 is on the spine above the triangle. Point 4 is at the outside corner of the dimple. Point 5 is at the outside corner of the other dimple. Point 6 is next to the tailbone. Be careful not to perform a misfire here by crossing your hands. Just switch your whole hand and continue. Point 7 is across from 6 on the other side of the tailbone. Point 8 is in line with point T and is on the side of the hip. Point 9 is on the side of the other hip, again in line with T. After you've completed step 3, it's a good time to add local work or enhancements to specific areas of the back. These areas may be determined in several ways. First, local work can be added wherever a recipient has a problem in any area of the spine. For example, if the recipient has low back pain, The associate may apply local work in that area. Local work includes any combination of matching fire, sweeps, or hold points. Also, local work may be applied in an area of the spine that relates to a specific condition in other areas of the body. For example, if the recipient has a heart problem, the associate would touch in the area of the spine that is the source of the nerves that relate to the heart. An associate may also look for a subtle marking on the skin to help determine where to do local work. These markings might include moles or mole patterns, changes in skin color, or changes in skin texture. After completing any local work, move on to four. Begin at points 10 and 10 on both sides of the tailbone. In matching fire, touch points 10 through 17 using the top of the large muscles on both sides of the spine as a guide. These points are located approximately every other vertebrae and may also be gauged by moving the hands up the spine the same distance as the hands are apart. Be sure to take your time in performing this step and hold each set of points for 6 to 8 seconds. Once you reach the points alongside the big bone at the base of the neck, begin step 5 by slowly sweeping all the way down both sides of the spinal column along the top of the large muscles. At points 10 and 10 next to the tailbone, gently curve outward to the hips and lift the fingers off the body.
Recorded. So none of that got recorded. You just looked at our pretty faces. What we just told you was contact us if you have any questions. It's all simple. You can't hurt anyone. And we are here to help you feel comfortable in using BioTouch with your family, your friends, or if you're a clinician who does body work, add BioTouch to it. It'll make your job that much easier.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So,
thank you all. We'll see you all next month for another health condition workshop.
Good evening, everyone.